Hi, everyone. This is Dave Schrest, content manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to the very first episode of what we're dubbing the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. I'm here with some esteemed colleagues who are going to share some tasty beverages with me today, and we're going to answer some of your social media questions. So first off, I'd like to have everybody introduce themselves and give us a heads up as to what you're drinking today. And I'll start first with, I'm drinking a Grey Lady Ale, which is an ale brewed with spices and natural flavors. Azure, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Azure Collier. I'm a social media education developer with Constant Contact, and I'm drinking Woodchuck Summer, which has a hint of blueberries.
Ooh, very nice. Have to have one of those next.
My name is Danielle Cormier, and I'm a social media specialist here at Constant Contact, and today I'm drinking a Bailey's Blonde Ale, which is perfect because I am also a blonde.
Yeah. I'm Erica Ayotte. I'm our social media manager here at Constant Contact, or social media goddess, as I have been called before.
Award-winning. Award-winning social media goddess.
Self-proclaimed nickname.
No, Gina, call me that. Anyway, I'm also drinking a Grey Lady Ale, and I'd like to point out that it is a local brew, brewed on Nantucket by Cisco Brewers.
Mm.
I'm Josh Mendelson. I work on our product marketing team with a focus on social media, and I also am enjoying a blonde ale. And while mostly balding at this point in my life, at one point I was a blonde. little kid. So.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Blue eyes, too.
I'm Dave.
Can I talk?
I'm Dave Gerhardt. I work on the marketing communications team here. I'm drinking a natural light, and no, I'm just kidding. I'm actually just drinking the same as Josh said, Bailey's Blonde Ale. It's delicious.
And since there are two Daves here, it might get a little confusing, so I will be the one that sounds more handsome.
I'll be just, the one that sounds sexier.
Yes, or something like that. So basically what we've done is we put out a call on Facebook to ask what questions you have about social media. And so we've got a list of those here today, and we're just going to jump in and see how we can help you out by answering some of those questions for you. So our first question comes from Thruway Hardwood and Plywood Corp. And they state that, I know there are many programs that will sync with your Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn accounts so that you only have to post once. Do you think there is a downside to this that people should be aware of? And he goes on to say that it seems like different kinds of posts are really only suited for specific accounts and don't always translate well across accounts. Would anybody like to tackle that first?
Yeah, I can jump in. This is Erica. And I think that having some scheduling tools like TweetDeck or Hootsuite are really helpful. But I think the point that this Thruway brings up is that you don't want to post the same exact thing on each network. There are different social networks for a reason, and so you should customize. You can have the same types of content, but I would suggest that you customize for each of the channels. For example, you might have a different voice on Twitter versus Facebook versus LinkedIn.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I think there's both different language in terms of promoting things in different ways, but there are things that you do on Twitter, like hashtags and @s, and when
yeah.
I see them on Facebook, I die a little bit inside.
Yeah.
I think an angel dies every time that happens.
There's no angel inside of you.
Yeah. but I also think, you know, you've got to think about, if you're asking people to follow you on different networks, there has to be a reason for that. If I'm following someone on Twitter and I'm following them on Facebook, I'm doing that expecting to get different things, not just to get barraged with the same message in two different places.
Yeah, for example, I think you could also say, generally speaking, Twitter as a platform is where you go for news.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Facebook, you might take the same content, but, you know, you ask a question about it versus just pushing out links.
I think it's also something to be said for when you post something on Twitter. I know when I was doing a lot of stuff on Twitter that the Twitter crowd would hate having to go to Facebook or would hate having to go someplace else with, like, without knowing that that's where they were going. So it's always good to, when you're thinking about putting things that are on other social networks onto Twitter and things like that, you give people a heads up that so they know that
that's where they're going.
Yeah, that's where they're going, and it's not like an annoyance mm-hmm. to them, because you have diehard people sometimes in certain networks that actually don't like to cross-promote between the two of them.
Have you found that, Danielle, with our...
Yeah, I think that people don't want to make the extra click and go another place to get the same content they could get right there within that channel.
But that's a good point, because you think about what you tweet and what you post on Facebook. You post things on Facebook that you want people to, you want to get a big discussion going, and you want a lot of comments and a lot of likes, whereas Twitter is kind of just like a quick hit news thing. People digest it quick and they're kind of on with it. Facebook is a little bit more sticky.
Twitter is a beast that constantly needs to be fed.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
hungry.
That talks about the frequency too. If you're just posting everything to everywhere, you're not thinking about the frequency either, so you might be overdoing
right.
it and not realizing it.
Yeah.
We also note that Josh is already starting his second beer.
He's came here with a goal today. And
somebody needs to tell him he's not at Fenway right now.
Yeah.
Contrary to the text he's receiving from his wife, he's actually not at the game.
Yeah, we should mention that today is the 100th anniversary of Fenway Park and being located right outside of Boston. Most of us are very excited about that, even if we are not there in person, we are there in spirit.
Hooray, Fenway!
Hooray.
So let's move on to question two. We have another question here from the Bugman. We've got a good bit of engagement from the fans that we have, but it's difficult to build up our fan base. We have super loyal customers, I'm already half a beer in, who refer us to others in a face-to-face setting, but not all of them transfer over to our web profiles. What can we do about that?
Well, I think one thing to remember is that there's a reason why you have an integrated marketing program is because your customers are going to connect with you in different ways. Some people are never going to connect with you on Facebook. We hope the majority of them will. But for some people, you know, maybe face-to-face is all that they're going to do. For some people, maybe that's just Twitter. For other people, that's email. And so I think you really have to find your sweet spot, and that's why you have to cover all of your bases. But there are, that being said, there are things that you can do to try and up your followership on Facebook. And I think the best way, and a lot of companies forget this, is to start with email. Send an email out to your contact list and say, hey, we're on Facebook. Or not even just that, but, you know, cross-promote things. If you have a newsletter, say, you know, we asked this question on Facebook, link back to it within your newsletter and get
mm-hmm.
some cross-promotional action happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the other thing is to be okay with letting your customers choose where they want to interact with
mm-hmm.
you. You know, sure, we'd love for every customer or every prospect to engage, you know, get on our email list, join our, you know, follow us on Twitter, become a Facebook fan. But the reality is, you know, in today's world, the power's in their hands. And I think as a business, you need to be okay with that fact
mm-hmm.
And serve up what people want. You know,
yeah.
It's not about what you want them to do. It's about what they want to do and helping them achieve their goals.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also something to be said for thinking of it as it's not necessarily always going to be that you're connecting with your existing customers. Online is actually a great way to look for new potential customers. And, you know, it may require you to do some research in the beginning to look at where potential customers for you might be hanging out already. And if you go to those places and become part of that community, you end up bringing those people back to your spot on Facebook, or at least getting those people to know you if you're participating in those other online things that are already happening. So that's a good way to actually reach out and reach new people for your business.
Yeah, I think a good way to mirror the face-to-face recommendations that you get in person on Facebook would be to make sure you're creating really shareable content. And if your fans like your content and they share it on their own wall, their friends are going to see it that way. And it's sort of the same face-to-face effect that your customers already are doing.
That's a really good point because basically, I mean, we're talking about word-of-mouth marketing. And whether that's in person or online, it's happening all over the place. So, you know,
yeah.
what the benefit of having it directly online, whether that's, you know, through Facebook or on email, is that you can amplify it really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think with my buddy the Bugman, just talking about getting, you know, new fans to the page, I think a lot of people often just, all it takes is asking them, whether it's in person, whether it's in the store, whether it's sending out a dedicated email, just letting people know about your presence on Facebook. I don't think enough people kind of let their customers know that they are there. And it's more than just letting you know that you're there, though. You have to give them a good reason, right? So, you know, because everybody and their mother is saying, oh, like me on Facebook.
Yeah. Why?
But
right.
why?
Yeah.
What am I going to get out
yeah.
of it? And obviously, if these people care enough about him to already be on his email list or go to his store, the chances are pretty good that they're going to also like his Facebook page, as long as he gives them a reason to do so.
I actually met the Bugman a couple weeks ago when I was in Tennessee, so this is Azure,
nice.
Just want to say hi. It was nice meeting you guys a couple weeks ago. But I also wanted to add, too, I mean, I know you guys are a face-to-face service. You go out and you meet these people, so are you leaving them with anything? Are you leaving them a business card? Are you leaving them something that says, hey, put a review of us on Yelp? Mm-hmm. They might not know you're there. And I know your website, you guys provide a lot of great resources, so use that to draw people in, follow us, and get some great tips. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to come back. They want to keep the pests away from their house, so give them some tips to help between visits.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, it does vary depending on what your business model is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if the idea is not one of frequency, you know, for these guys, it's not one of frequency. You know, frequency would be a bad thing.
Right.
Right. It means
mm-hmm.
you're not getting the job done. It's really about word of mouth, and I think
mm-hmm.
to Dave's point, you know, you need to be actively driving word of mouth. It's great to think that people are going to recommend you automatically, but the truth is, you know, post something and ask people to share it. It's amazing what people will do if you just ask if they like you.
And the whole point about him having a business that's not really like a, you know, a day-to-day need, might be once every 6 months, that's why social media is great. It helps you stay top of mind with these people.
Right.
And we've
right.
done research here that shows that, you know, consumers are more likely to purchase from brands that they have a relationship with. And the relationship is often just liking them on Facebook or being a part of their email list. So, you know, that's the whole balance between over-communicating and not communicating enough.
And speaking of recommendations and reviews, don't forget, too, that the recommend feature on Facebook now.
Yeah,
like when
I
you
love
like,
it.
Yeah,
love
that
it.
Actually drives, just for Constant Contact, quite a few likes. And what that does is if you're not familiar with it, the first time you like a page, it will, you know, Facebook will ask you, or you'll have the opportunity to leave a recommendation. And what that does is, if you leave a recommendation, it will end up in your newsfeed and your friends will see it. So when someone likes your page for the first time, you can encourage them to leave a recommendation, either whether it's for the first time or, you know, you can even have a post on your Facebook page saying, hey, would you mind recommending us
mm-hmm.
on Facebook? And that's another way to get in front of your customers' networks.
And this is a business that people do actively recommend. I was talking to my brother-in-law last night because I have a pest control problem at my house, and I was asking, who do you use?
Right.
So it's really great to get that customer base excited
right.
about you and recommend.
It's one of those things you ask, yeah, you don't need it till you need it, but when you need it,
you really
yeah.
need
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and I think that's really the goal, right, is what you're trying to do. As we mentioned, you're not trying to get, you know, necessarily repeat business, but you're trying to stay top of mind with the content that you're putting up there so people see you, so that way when their friends say, hey, I have this issue, where do I go, that you're the first person that they think of. And that's
right.
really the real
yeah.
advantage of being in these places where your people are hanging out, is that you're the first person that comes to mind. I think another thing that we should probably mention in terms of if you're just in like getting mode, I've experimented with like sponsored stories on Facebook,
yeah.
which are the ads that you can pay for. And I've done some, I do some marketing directing for a small theater in Astoria, New York. And one of the things...
Is marketing directing really a word?
Well, yes.
We're
talking about words. Anyway.
We're the deciders.
So one of the things that we've, you know, experimented with is using the sponsored stories, and you can actually set that up to target people that are already friends with your page, so that... Friends of friends, I should say.
Does everyone know what a sponsored story? Do you want to like give a quick rundown of what is a sponsored story and what does it look like?
You might be able to better help me explain that.
Yes.
So
basically, sponsored stories are a type of ad that's based on engagement. So for example, Dave and I are friends on Facebook.
Yes.
Dave Shrust.
Yeah, only Dave Shrust.
No one
I'm only
friends,
friends
with
handsome
yeah.
Dave.
That's right.
I only have beautiful friends on Facebook.
Nobody wants sexy Dave for the weekend. Anyway.
So Dave and I are friends on Facebook, and Dave likes, say, a page, say, Constant Contact. If I don't, Constant Contact can then use an ad, or any business can use an ad to display Dave's engagement activity back to me
mm-hmm.
personally. So basically what it is, it's ads based on the activity of your network. So the whole idea is that if your friends are engaging with the page, if your friends are liking certain pages, if your friends are in commenting on pieces of content on different pages, chances are you might like that page too.
Right.
So the ad system serves up ads that are based on your friends. So it's a little bit less of a heavy push than, say,
right.
a regular display ad that's like, click on this and go to our website. It's like, hey, it's kind of like a little nudge. It's like, hey, your friend liked this. You might
yeah.
like it, too.
Yeah,
it's almost like manufacturing word of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, and so what we found from that is I think you can set a limit for how much money you want to spend on that and that type of thing, and I think we set like a $50 limit, and we
not expensive,
not expensive at all, and I mean that obviously you can do more depending on what the size of your budget is, but I believe we generated about 100 likes within the course of a month or so.
Wow,
using
great.
That technique. So I mean, I think that's really good because you can get really targeted with who you want that ad to be presented to. And like we said, it's kind of a non-intrusive way. That's not really a traditional ad, but more based on activity that your friends are already doing.
And probably supports, if you're doing a great job with your content, probably supports what you're doing from a content perspective anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a disconnect between, hey, we love, you know, we're engaging and we love our fans, and oh, buy this stuff now. You know, it's
right.
kind of along the same lines of like a friendly community message.
So that's a good question. It is sort of, where does selling come in with social? You know, like,
mm-hmm.
obviously every business wants, sorry, I'm taking over the moderator.
No, go.
You know, every business wants to sell stuff. I mean, that's why we're all here. It's why all of our customers are here.
Right.
You know, where does that play? You know, how do you do that in a way that's socially friendly?
Well, first of all, I think before you can ask for the sell or before you can ask people to buy something, you really need you need to give something in return first. You need to spend time building up your community and getting their trust, and then you can ask for the referral. Then you can start to drop in, you know, then you can start to drop in some, you know, hey, you might be interested in this sort of offer type of thing. And and I think that is more, let me backtrack a little bit and say, I think that's more directed at your diehard fans, the ones who are your best customers. Some people are looking for a deal. Let's be honest. And you might be able to catch some new business that way. But I would say, you know, definitely start with the community management piece and make sure that you're really strong in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, even when you get, that way you are building the trust of your current fans, your current customers. But even as you get new prospects in the door, whether, you know, that's through Facebook or email or whatever it is, you already look so much more legitimate in a way if you have an active fan base, if you're already engaging, if people like you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point that Erica brings up, is that it really is about that engagement to begin with, because you're trying to work on a foundation of that, you know, we're building up that know, like, and trust, and that's what all these content things and all these social networks allow you to do, is kind of build on that foundation of relationships with people, so that you have that in place first. One of the big mistakes you'll see is some businesses will go in and they'll try to just immediately start promoting things.
Right.
And because there's no foundation to do that with, that it
fails.
You
haven't earned it. You
haven't earned
that.
That's right. That's a great
exactly
way to look at it.
Yeah.
You haven't earned that. So it's really about being part of the community and earning the respect and the trust of those people, so that when you do have something, that they're more apt to respond to it, really.
Right, exactly.
And at that point, they kind of look at you as being helpful.
Right.
Because they've formed that relationship with you. You're not in their face selling.
Yeah.
I think this would help you out.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're looking for a guideline too, I mean, I feel like it's usually a good idea to keep things to like an 80-20 kind of rule and say, spend 80% of your time connecting and, you know, reaching out to the community and engaging, and then 20% of your time promoting an offer or doing something or offering something special to those people. I think it's all in the way you present it too, you know? So,
right, that's a good point.
Is that ratio something that you guys think holds across networks, or is it different on Twitter or even, God forbid, Google Plus? I mean,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. You know,
that's a whole other podcast.
Because to me, yeah, you know, to me it's a different experience, you know, and some of it's a volume issue.
Yeah.
You know, on Twitter you're just posting so much that, you know, it's probably, to me it's a little more okay. You know?
I agree with you there. I think Twitter is more, if you look at each individual post, like Twitter versus Facebook, I think Facebook is lower volume, higher value, and Twitter is higher volume, lower value per post, should we say.
But I think on Twitter you can afford to just keep hitting people with stuff, and then hope something sticks. Whereas Facebook is kind of the other way around. You really kind of pick and choose before you post something, and you say, I want to, you know, like we often talk, like, you know, the posts that you pick are very selective. You're very methodical about planning them for Facebook, but for Twitter, it's kind of just like, here's
firing them up.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's 30 different links that we're going to use today.
Let me ask you guys,
let them rip.
Hypothetical, why is that okay? Why is that okay to pepper Twitter but not Facebook?
Well, I think there's a difference between, we've got a couple things going that are different between Facebook and Twitter, right? One of them is that on Facebook, we're working off an EdgeRank algorithm, right? So
EdgeRank and the personal algorithm.
And a personal, yeah. So there's all this crazy things going on. And just to give kind of like,
yeah, it's basically Mark Zuckerberg pulling little levers. He's like pulling like the strings of a
puppet. And I swear to God, I set everything to sort by most recent, and it defaults back to.
I just need to take a side note for a second.
Uh-oh.
So you know the whole EdgeRank, you see the posts from the people that you interact the most with.
Yeah.
So, you know, say you have 20 of your, you know, you see 20 of your very close friends post all the time. Don't you feel like there's one or two people who you haven't talked to in years, but they're always in your stream no matter what?
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, you can hide them.
I love it.
So
all of these next year.
I'm like, oh, hello, Christine.
He has his own list of all of his girlfriends. He only posts the sexy pictures. He has the selfie thing.
We're going down a dangerous
mirror. Yeah. Mirror pics, sorry.
So I guess that's a long way to get to that. Facebook and Twitter are different. And on Facebook, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes that kind of serves up what you actually get to see. Whereas Twitter kind of works as a more real-time device. So if you post something at one, it's going to fly past the stream of your followers at one. So it's like okay for you to post it again maybe at five because the same
chances are they're not going to see it again.
You know?
You're
not
going to have the same reaction scrolling through your feed like, oh, they just posted that 3 hours ago. Nobody does that. They just flip by.
And there's something about the dynamic of Facebook and Twitter. Like on Twitter, you would send you would mention anybody in a tweet, you know, a celebrity, an athlete, whoever, and you
doesn't
like,
have to be all business related, is it?
Totally. You would just, or even if it is business related, someone that you would never tag them in a photo, you'd never write on their wall, you'd never do anything.
Because you don't have that personal relationship.
Totally, but you could send, you know, so people always have that reaction, you know, you probably see some of your friends like, oh my god, I tweeted at Ashton Kutcher and he tweeted back at me.
Yeah.
Like,
A+?
The same thing doesn't...
Funky Big Sam!
Exactly. The same thing doesn't happen on Facebook because most likely you're not in that inner circle anyway because you're not friends with them.
Yeah.
Dave Coulier tweeted at me yesterday. Remember from Full House?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
I was like,
and from all those Alanis Morissette songs?
Yeah.
So I think that's a big, you know, Dave brings up a good point is that, there, again, the difference between Facebook and Twitter is that Twitter is a more open network and it's part of the culture to be able to just mention somebody in tweets.
Right.
Like, you don't act...
Because the relationships aren't as strong.
Different. Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
Like, think about, like, when you follow someone, it's like, oh, I'll follow this, like, random account that's an animal talking
or something. But if you're on Facebook and some random person sends you a friend request and you accepted it, and then they wrote on your wall, like, hey, loved your article, you'd be like, what?
You'd be like, hey, creeper.
Yeah. But on Twitter, you're like, oh, thanks for reading. You know,
it's
just a different dynamic.
So there's different levels of relationships. And I think that actually brings up a good point, too, about how you actually use Twitter, and that if there are certain things that you want to see a lot, make sure that you're using the list functionality, because otherwise...
You'll never see it.
You'll never see it.
Totally. Yeah. You look at say there's a blogger that you want to read, or someone that owns a business that's similar to yours that you want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You could log into Twitter and be like, they haven't tweeted anything all day, but then you go to their actual page and they've been tweeting all day. You just haven't been there.
Right, you just haven't seen it.
What's been happening.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Should we wrap this one up?
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap this one up. I hope you've gotten some good information. We'll be posting to our Facebook page times when we'll be doing these shows again. So if you do have any questions, be sure to check out our page. We are at facebook.com/constantcontact. And go there, leave your questions for us, and we'll try to answer them in an upcoming show. And be sure to let us know what you thought. If you got a better idea for a name of the show or anything else you'd like us
questions
to do.
Questions for next time.
Questions
definitely.
For next time.
A drinking game that we should play.
Yes.
Yeah,
or, hey, if you can even recommend a beer that we should be drinking
while
we do these.
Yeah, we're trying to get local beers from all the 50 states, so let us know.
So, yeah, exactly. Let us know how we can make that happen. All right, thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.